There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
How's everybody today? If it was up to you, we're 6 foot under already. We're dead and buried and gone. And they run through our like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them. It really doesn't matter what you think. You can ask the bottle, but don't ask me. And it really doesn't matter what you say. I could give a about all that. Excuse my French. I mean, you're allowed to have an opinion. We'll make you coach next year, and I'll ask you questions at the press conference. You better make it a good one now, because I'm about half fired up here.
Welcome to College Football Live. Joey Galloway, Maria Taylor,
you didn't even smile when you watched yourself.
Nick Saban joining us now, and we're going to try to make our questions good, Coach. We promise. But I can't.
I'm going to improve. I promise that I'm going to improve my appearance in press conferences.
You do.
And be nicer.
Okay.
Just after watching that.
We've got it on tape, so we're going to roll with that. Okay, we have all the hard-hitting questions. My first one, though, is what's harder, coaching a national championship team or nursing you back to health after hip surgery?
Well, you know, one is much more difficult because it involves so many people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to coach a team, you know, you have so many roles, so many parts, so many personalities. How do people sort of buy into their role? How do they buy into the principles and values of the organization that are going to help you be successful? You know, when you're recovering from hip surgery, it's just a personal, do your therapy every day, go for it, do what you're supposed to do, and trust in the people that are going to help you get where you need to get back to normal.
I heard you were back up in, like, what, 3 hours after the initial surgery?
Yeah, well, they got me up the next morning, mm-hmm. and I actually could walk,
mm-hmm.
and then I went home, and I was supposed to sit in a chair, and I did that for 6 hours, and then I went outside and walked, and, you know, so, I mean, they told me I'd be on a walker for a week and a mm-hmm. cane for a week, and mm-hmm. I was on a walker for one day, and then I just could walk. I mean, so why do the other stuff?
I wouldn't expect anything different, Coach. I have seen your golf swing, and you generate pretty good club head mm-hmm. speed. I've played with guys that are close to your age, and they, like, how do you still swing it the way you do? Those guys can't swing it.
All I know is nobody will let me move up. I'm supposed to move up, you know. I mean, I qualify age-wise. And it starts with your boss around here, Lee Fitting. He won't let me move up either.
He won't let me move up.
And he won't let me have enough shots. I think we got to go double-team him.
I do have a question, though. Have you guys ever played together? Because
we have not.
No.
We have not.
Well, I've played in Alabama one time, and the houses down there hope I never come back. I didn't keep many balls on the golf course. It was ugly.
Okay, well, then we won't ever try to put you on camera and have you playing golf at all. Coach, to the football field, because a week from today, right, your team is reporting. So walk me through what that first day is like. You get a brand new team kind of coming into the building, a new chemistry, and you're trying to build, you know, on something. So what is that you're building on right now? Or what do you want your team to understand when they walk through the door?
Right. Well, you know, the new part of the team is just the new freshmen that are coming in. And we only have 11 now because we had like 15 guys that came at mid-year. So the team has been together for spring practice, summer conditioning. But now everybody's got to realize the real thing is starting.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything has consequences, you know, everything that you do. If you made a mistake in spring practice, it was just to learn from. But now when you make a mistake, it could have significant consequences. So players have to be ready to take the next step when it comes to mental energy, intensity, sense of urgency, those types of things, to be disciplined players and accountable to do their job.
In my years of being in college football, of analyzing college football, I've always said that you guys stay angry longer than most teams are able to do it. Most teams lose, they stay angry. They're angry for a game, a quarter, they're motivated. You guys pull it off for a season. So when you lose that whole next season, your attitude is incredible and it stays at that level. How do you pull that off?
Well, you know, I think that when you lose, people are much more apt to respond the way you'd like for them to respond. You know, it's the old thunderbolt theory. You know, when somebody gets hit with a thunderbolt, they're willing to change and do whatever you need to do to make things right. When you have success, you know, people are less likely to do that. You know, I mean, you're sitting there telling the players, you know, here's all the things we need to do. And they're looking at you saying, well, we won the game. Why are you asking us to do all this stuff?
And the worst thing that can happen is to play bad and win. All right, because then you really got problems. You know, you need to make a lot of improvements, all right, but you won the game, so you got this attitude about what we need to do to get better. But when you lose and everybody has that thought and that feeling of how you feel in the locker room after the game when you lose, it has such an impact on you as a competitor in terms of that stays with you for a long time. Right, and until you go through an entire season and prove that you can accomplish something better, it sort of doesn't go away for me, and I know for a lot of our players.
So would you say a team that comes off of a loss then becomes more coachable? Is I hear what's kind of being described here.
Well, I don't want to ever say our guys weren't coachable, but I think they're more willing, you know, to learn and do things and pay attention to detail and do the little things right, prepare, practice the right way. You know, I mean, when you win all the time, you lose your humility a little bit. And when you lose your humility, you sort of create a blatant disregard for doing what's right. And that's where complacency starts to sit in. And then you're not practicing the right way. You're not preparing the right way. You start developing some bad habits. And those things don't really get exposed until you play against somebody really good. Then you really get exposed. And that happened to us.
I heard something interesting. You said we lost the Bama factor. Describe kind of what that means.
Well, the Bama factor to me is, we always tell our players we want to have a really disciplined team. We want to play with a really high level of discipline, and we want people to be responsible and accountable to do their job at a high level and on a consistent basis, and we want them to put the team first. All right, those three things. And I think we just seemed like we lost that a little bit toward the end of the season last year, and I think it affected us a little bit.
One of the places that sort of tailed off a little bit is Tua and his quarterback play. There were some reads in the championship game that we weren't used to seeing Tua make those kind of plays. And so once again, you replace your offensive coordinator. So you have a quarterback that needs to fix some things at the end of a season. One coach out, new coach in. How do you continue to let this young man grow and coach him as he's also getting used to a brand new offensive coordinator?
Well, but we didn't change the system on offense, and we didn't change the terminology. So it's not going to be totally different for him. You know, when we have changes, you know, at Alabama, we're not having independent contractors come in and change everything because it changes for everybody in the building. All right. And Sark has been with us before. He knows our terminology. He knows the system. He's going to add things that he wants to do, which is going to make us better. He's a really good quarterback coach. He has a great relationship with Tua. I think that's going to be, you know, a positive for us and a positive for Tua's development. But Tua has to take what the defense gives. I've said that all off season. You know, that when he made mistakes last year, he forced balls. He forced balls down the field trying to make plays. And look, everybody wants to make plays, but you got to be patient enough to make the right decisions to make the plays.
Coach, one thing I've noticed when I've come to your place, and it's different than everywhere else I've been, inside your building, everything I see on the walls in your weight room is about what Alabama does. I don't see things in there like so many days till we play LSU or till we play Auburn. You guys, anywhere
you
else you go,
places,
everywhere else you go, they have their rivals game in there somewhere, or the rival team, or this is who we're looking forward to. Is that you that has said, look, in this building, we're about what we do and not what our opponents are doing?
That's absolutely, you know, it's our philosophy. We control what we do. And I think sometimes when you focus on what you do, you're staying focused on the things that you need to do to improve individually, collectively as a unit, and as a team. You know, you're staying focused on all the things that you control. And I think you can't control what somebody else does. You can't control what the other team does. You look at the other team technically to say, okay, they like to run these plays or we like to run these plays, and what do we have to do to make those work efficiently and effectively? But we can't control what they do. We can't control their attitude. We can't control the crowd. We can't control any of those things. So we really try to stay focused on what we can control, what we do. And that's what we talk about all the time.
We love talking about the state of Alabama and where your program is headed, but the state of football in general and as an ambassador to the game. We heard some interesting comments from John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC. I want us to all take a listen, but then kind of talk a little bit about the game.
I have some concerns because if you look at some of the numbers in certain parts of the country, the number of young people playing football is going down, not in every part of the country, but in some parts of the country. And, I think it's because of the physicality and the potential for injury. And yet you look at a lot of other sports that don't get the same
soccer
publicity in terms of
concussions and, if not more,
and knee and ankle injuries, these kinds of things.
So one, I guess, Coach, your reaction to the comment, but more where we are in the state of the game and college football and player safety and some of the things that we continue to hear are a topic of conversation. And since you're in the midst of it, you would hold tightly to it.
Well, I think that we're all very concerned about player safety. I think we're all looking for a better way to practice, to teach players, just like we had the head NFL doctor come in and talk to our players about the best way not to get a concussion, you know, from a medical standpoint. Mm-hmm. Keep your face up. You know, the best way to not get a foot and ankle injury is to wear the proper shoes, which a lot of guys don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, getting the proper rest. You know, in the 7-year study in the NFL, 30% less chance of a player who sleeps 8 hours or more getting injured than the guys that don't sleep. All right, so all this kind of compelling information that we have to help players needs to be shared at all levels, in my opinion, to try to make the game safe. And I think we all got to find a better way to practice. We have to all acknowledge that I don't care what they do in any other sport. I know there's other sports that have some of the same issues, and I think that for their players' sake, they should be doing the same things that we're doing. But I think because football has such popularity, that's why, you know, it gets targeted a little bit. But it's a great game. It's a great team game. I hope some kind of way that we can all figure out a way to play it safely so that we can continue to have young men have the opportunity to participate in a great team game, work hard, pride in performance, perseverance, all those things that can help them be more successful in life or something that they can learn through their participation.
Coach, when you got into coaching or even now, was there something that you had in mind that you wanted to do after coaching when it's all said and done and you hang up the cleats, hang up the clipboard? This is next for Coach Saban.
I never have. Oh. I really never have. But I know one thing, that sitting at home is not for me. I lasted for 6 hours after my surgery. We talked about that. And I could not wait to get, and I went to work the next day. I know that's not it.
Right.
I like to be challenged. I like to be busy. I like to solve problems. I don't know for sure what it is. But you know, when you've been in a leadership position for a long time, it would be kind of hard to work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's somewhere in business or something. I don't know, but, I got a lot of years left, I think, doing this, you know, because I enjoy it so much, and I just hope, God willing, I'm healthy enough to be able to continue.
Well, you could play pickup basketball because you crushed me in horse, so you would always be a winner at that. Just know that, Joey. We're sorry that we made you sit for 10 minutes, but this is our apology. We've got some oatmeal cream pies for Coach.
Oh,
I know.
Good. This is this makes it all worthwhile.
Exactly. And this is the last stop for you on the media tour, so now you can get back on the plane, head back to Tuscaloosa, and obviously all of the planning is going down for Coach Saban as they are ready to tee off all of their practices. Players report on Thursday. The question that we still need to answer on College Football Live is, will there be another Bama-Clemson rematch? Round 5, is that what's coming up? And if it isn't, then we'll find out from Joey and Dan who might be getting in the way of Game 5. This is our first ever college football game on the ACC Network, and it's coming your way Thursday, August 29th at 8 Eastern. It'll be Georgia Tech in Death Valley. Visit getaccn.com to check availability. And if you don't see your provider listed, demand they carry the ACC Network.
College Football Live is brought to you by State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM.
You're are looking at the College Football Playoff National Championship Trophy presented by Dr. Pepper. Isn't she a beauty? That's what everyone's going to be playing for as we start to kick off camps all around the nation. And our friends at the Caesars Sportsbook, they have Alabama and Clemson in dead heat for the title this coming year. Yeah, I know. It's shocking, right? Georgia, though, they're next up and followed by Ohio State and OU. The question is, who could prevent us from seeing yet another Alabama-Clemson meeting in the national championship? And to have that discussion, we're going to add one. Dan Orlovsky joining me and Joey now. And let's talk about it because, okay, Vegas has already decided it's going to be Clemson and Bama all the way. But there's got to be some teams that could get in the way of us seeing, you know, repeat part five going down between the Tide and the Tigers.
I think number one is Georgia with Jake Fromm coming back. Now he has to figure out which receivers he's going to throw the ball to. But it'll be a talented football team. And they've been right on the edge of beating Alabama. They've had their chances. They don't face Alabama in the regular season. And so they miss out on having to deal with that physical game during the season. They can get to the SEC championship game and remain healthy and be ready to go. Then they'll have a chance to knock off Alabama.
Listen, outside of the Mayan calendar being wrong and the world actually ending in 2019 and not 2012, we're probably going to see it again. But I'll look at two different scenarios. One, you got to look at their week two and week three games for Clemson, right? So they got to play week two against Texas A&M. And we know Texas A&M is led by Jimbo. And what does Jimbo do as good as anybody? He's going to attack what you're weak at. And Clemson's got to replace that full defensive line. So is Jimbo going to come out and unique run formations and pound the ball against kids who don't necessarily know how to play that many plays? Is he going to play with a crazy amount of tempo? So and then week three, they got to play Syracuse on the road. And Syracuse and Dino Babers have played them difficult. I'd also say you got to look at some complacency. Will that hold Clemson back? Not only did Clemson go and slay the Giant, they embarrassed them last year. And so kids naturally can feel themselves a little bit and think it might be a little bit easier than it is in reality. So those are the only two things that I could see holding the Clemson-Bama five back, and certainly pertaining to Clemson.
Interesting, when you talk about Clemson, you give Syracuse a lot of credit. And they have played them tough. I don't know that one loss, let's say they lose one of those games to Texas A&M or Syracuse, I think because of the respect that the ACC has received from the committee in past seasons, they could still get there with the one loss.
Yeah. And we've seen it happen before. I remember 2018, 2017, they lost to Syracuse, and they were still able to make it into the College Football Playoff. So it wouldn't be the first time at all. Let's walk through, because we're always looking forward to the College Football Playoff. And right now, Alabama, they lead the way with five playoff appearances. Remember, they've been to every single playoff since its inception. Clemson, they've been to four, and the Tide and the Tigers, they're combined for four of the last national titles. But isn't it time that we add some new blood, like shake it up? I mean, I know, like Notre Dame's not on that list. They've been there too. If you guys had to right now just pluck some teams out of the air, like a team who could make a first-time appearance this season in the playoff would be who? Dan?
Well, I'm certainly plucking out of the air here. Okay. I'm going Nebraska. I think it's easy to go with a Michigan.
That is really
far. That's really far.
Okay. I wasn't expecting
that. Let me give you some evidence of why. So they start 0-6 last year, and then they end up 6-6. And in those first six losses, really had four close games, but Adrian Martinez is back and he's on the short list for the Heisman Trophy, 2,600 yards through the air, 800 on the ground. But guys, their schedule. I can't give you a difficult road game, maybe at Colorado, but Wisconsin comes to them. Iowa comes to them. Ohio State comes to them. This is a team that's got six starters back on defense. And Scott Frost, what did he do his second year at UCF? Yeah. He went 12-0. So there's some evidence in history that he can do that.
That is the most excited I've ever heard someone talk about a team that was 4-8 a season.
I'm telling you,
I've never.
People are jumping on Nebraska. People like Nebraska. I'm with
Nebraska.
You.
Right.
They won four games. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to see them beat some teams. Not this. They came close to beating some. I'm going to have to see them beat some teams. And one team that we did see last season beat Oklahoma was Texas.
Yeah.
And Ellinger is back. I don't think Ellinger gets as much respect as he deserves. I mean, his numbers, he threw for 30. He ran for 16 touchdowns. And he's just not flashy. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not going to rip off a 60-yard touchdown run. But he finds ways to win. He finds ways to move the football. He's back. And so defensively, If this Texas team can find a way to get some stops in the Big 12, I know that's tough to do. Mm-hmm. They put up so many points. They have to find ways to stay out of shootouts. But Texas is in a position that if they can come out of the Big 12, I don't think Notre Dame goes undefeated again. Mm-hmm. But somebody has to get into this playoff. Texas is a team that can win the Big 12 and get in.
Well, you talk about their defense. They have to replace 9 starters, their whole front seven, and their 2 cornerbacks.
Which ain't always a bad thing.
Maybe it's not. Yeah. I was going to say.
Ain't always a bad
maybe
thing.
Maybe that's not a bad thing. You know what else isn't a bad thing? Tomorrow on College Football Live, Miami and Florida, as they start to kick off camp, we will be all in on college football in the state of Florida. And as we check in on the state of things down there in the Panhandle, let's find out what's going on with the Gators head coach.
Huh? Am I on IR? I passed concussion protocol, so I'm good to go. So bumped my head and had to go. But they did the test on me, and I guess I passed, so they're going to let me practice.
Okay, so I thought he was doing a Nelly impression, but it turns out he's actually
That's
injured.
That's a strange placement.
Looks like he caught a wayward Felipe Franks fastball right there.
Poor Coach Mullen. We really hope that you get better before camp actually kicks off tomorrow, because we want to spend more time with you. But we're glad you passed the concussion protocol. In celebration of the NFL's 100th season, Peyton Manning, he's taking you to unique and humorous places on a journey in football's history and the cultural impact through conversations with former players, coaches, and other key figures. It's 30 episodes of Peyton's Place, only available on ESPN Plus. And to get ESPN Plus, download the app or go to ESPNplus.com. Welcome back to College Football Live. Take a look at Washington State's center, Liam Ryan, the mullet. I like it. He put blonde tips in the back, black hair on top, and I think what he's doing is trying to go for best mullet in college football because, as you know, Coach Gundy is the one that we always reference. Who wore it better, guys?
Oh, it's Gundy in a runaway because he doesn't have to do anything to it. It's Liam funny. Had to, like, throw some color in there. Mm-hmm. It looks a little fake. Gundy's is epic.
The fact that Gundy is older. Yeah, it just seems like a young man's. Hey, Maria, you don't look bad like that. You might even switch up and do that.
I buy that wig.
I feel like it's a young man's thing to do.
How would you categorize yourself, Joey, right now? Like,
I don't think that's me.
No.
I don't
actually,
think that
Dan, you older. Probably look the best, I'm going to be honest.
All right.
We're going to work on getting Dan Olasky.
All you got to do is grow the back out, Dan. You're close.
Give me a couple years.
We're going to work on getting Joey to a plane so we can go golf again. And thanks for joining us for College Football Live. Don't forget, Florida and Miami camp opens. That's the next episode of the show you'll see.